Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to another edition of WKAR's Current Sports. That's right, I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you live on this Thursday, July 26th, 2018. I really hope you guys are having a great week. Can't believe it's already Thursday, right? You're on the back nine of the week. The weekend is near, and we have another entertaining hour of sports talk coming your way. On today's Current Sports, we will put a bow on Big Ten Media Days, and there is one topic that I want to address. We have not gotten a chance to discuss it as of this week. And Jim Harbaugh had an interesting Big Ten Media Days. You know, everybody in Sparty Land, of course, was outraged at what he wore during his opening press conference to begin the week. Day one on Monday out in Chicago, you know, he had on a baseball cap, a maize and blue polo shirt, as well as khakis. I mean, it looked like Jim Harbaugh was ready to just suit up, throw on his headset, and get ready to coach a football game, right? So his attire was certainly a talking point. And also, you know, a few interesting headliners coming out of that press conference, one in particular, as it pertains to the college football playoff. Harbaugh believes it should eventually be expanded to eight teams, and then after the eight-team format is put in place, move to 16 teams. Now, that has caused a lot of discussion. I think it's one of the more concrete takes that coaches, when you look at college football, that coaches within the world of college football has taken on that topic. I mean, some of them are riding the fence. Some of them like the exclusivity of having four teams, while some are in favor of at least an 8-team playoff. I don't think anybody has said a 16-team playoff, with the exception of Jim Harbaugh. We'll address that. Also, we'll put a lid, of course, on our Bleacher Report Top 50 convo, because there were some interesting names when it comes to Bleacher Report's ranking of the top 50 sports figures today in 2018. We'll have Throwback Thursday for you, as we always do each and every Thursday, where we hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. And then we will put a bow on the show to close things with our dear friend Seth Kinker, former Current Sports production assistant, now high school sports reporter at the Sun-Times News out in Chelsea, Michigan. I want to tackle the world of recruiting with Seth and really dive into how recruiting has changed and is changing here in 2018. So that should be an interesting chat as well. We'll dive into all of that while, of course, inviting you all to be a part of the show. Multiple ways in which you can weigh in. Pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. And you can join us on social media. Just simply visit facebook.com/WKAR News to check out the live stream there and comment below that video. I'll do my best to get to a few of your comments throughout the next 60 minutes. And, of course, you can join us on Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, tonight is the night, folks. The Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony will take place tonight at the Lansing Center. Festivities beginning at 4:30 p.m. For a meet and greet. And then at 5:45 p.m., the dinner will take place. And then the ceremony will get underway around roughly 6:30 p.m. All right. I want to give a big shout out to the chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, Bob Every, who I spoke on the phone to earlier this week. I'll be at the induction ceremony capturing some footage for you guys, and we'll have a write-up on our website later on tonight at WKAR.org. The Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame is always one of my favorite events annually here in the Lansing area. Now, tickets are $35 per individual, $280 for a table of eight, and again, can be purchased at LansingSportsHallOfFame.org. I'm not sure what the seats look like right now. You may be out of luck, but I would at least try it for those who want to attend tonight's induction ceremony. A great class being inducted tonight that includes Larry Bates, Eastern Wrestling, Lindsey Bowen, Dansville Basketball and Softball, Tom Jokovac, Lansing Gabriel Football and Track, Randy Kinder, East Lansing Football, Ernest E.J. Pasteur, Jr., Sexton Wrestling, Gene Robinson Klump, Eastern Swimming, Volleyball, Basketball, and Softball, Bob Strangier, Eastern Football, Basketball, and Baseball, Jeff Truth of Hope Basketball, and also the teams that will be enshrined tonight are the 1970 Lansing All-Star Football Team, 1976 Williamston Girls Track Team, and the 2000 Grand Ledge Football Squad. And the recipient of the Richard Letts Community Service Awards are Russ Sanchez and Bob Bauch. So congratulations to all of the inductees. Again, I'll be there capturing some footage, and also we'll have a write-up on our website at WKAR.org later on tonight. So keep it locked later this evening for a recap of tonight's ceremony. All right, the Detroit Tigers bats were roaring last night as they cruised to an 8-4 dub over the Kansas City Royals. Victor Martinez singled three times, driving in two runs. John Hicks reached base four times, scoring two runs. But two of the most notable contributors came from shortstop Jose Iglesias and starting pitcher Matthew Boyd, two players who could find themselves in different uniforms at this time next week, depending on what shakes with the whole MLB trade deadline, right? Now, in the win, the Tigers scored their most runs in the past 10 games, and for Jose Iglesias, it served as a full circle moment of sorts this season, which turned around after the Tigers' last trip to Kansas City in early May. So the Tigers get an 8-4 much needed dub. And as it pertains to the Detroit Tigers schedule, they will get back to action tomorrow night at 7:10 p.m. as they host a three-game set with the Cleveland Indians. All right. Extra is Antonio Brown's middle name. Actually, it's Tavares. Yeah, riddle me that, right? Some sports trivia for you guys today, right? You'll kill it at the bar tonight with that. All right. But it should be when you see this, when you see his entrances to the Pittsburgh Steelers training camp the past couple of years, all right? Get this. In 2015, he showed up in a black and yellow Rolls Royce. Wiz Khalifa definitely improved that, right? In 2016, he showed up in another custom Rolls Royce, but this time it had an outlandish custom paint job. You can check that out on the WKAR Current Sports Twitter page right now. But 2018 definitely outshined those moments, in my opinion. This year, he pulled up, or I should say he flew in a helicopter. Yeah, a helicopter, folks. He surprised everyone, including teammates and fans and the media. There will never be another Antonio Brown. And for me, I have no problem with this because Antonio Brown is one of the best receivers in the league. You know, if you can talk the talk, you better be able to walk the walk. And Antonio Brown certainly walks the walk. He can back it up. But yeah, it was crazy as he flew in. And I saw the picture of him flying in with his family in the helicopter. It was all black. Shout out to you, Antonio Brown. It's called arriving in style, right? Which he has done, again, dating back to 2015. All right, the Detroit Pistons 2018 draft class is now officially under contract guard Kyrie Thomas has signed his rookie contract with the team. It was announced that this week. Terms of the deal have been not disclosed, though. Thomas was drafted number 38 overall by the Philadelphia 76ers in last month's NBA draft, and then he got traded to the red, white, and royal blue in exchange for two future second-round picks. Now, the Pistons also drafted Bruce Brown at number 42 in the second round of the draft. Brown signed his contract with the team earlier this month. Thomas averaged 15.1 points per game as a junior for Creighton last year. In four summer league games, the former Creighton star averaged almost 10 points per game while shooting 40% from the field. And I love this story. Even during the offseason, off-court drama in the NBA still becomes the forefront of the sports world. In this episode of Trigger Fingers Turn to Twitter Fingers, I love that, shout out to Drake, we see CJ McCollum talking trash about Kevin Durant's decision to go and play for the Golden State Warriors by, of course, taking his opinions to Twitter. This is what CJ McCollum had to say in regard to KD's move to Golden State, basically to chase rings and get easy NBA championships or easier NBA championships, right? CJ tweeted this, quote, "I think the B word is harsh and shouldn't be used. He," meaning Kevin Durant, "he knows that decision was soft, but I respect it. It's like getting jumped with your brothers by a gang you should have beat, then joining the gang that jumped you and your brothers 2 months later and forgetting about your bros." So that's what CJ McCollum had to say. KD fired back, though. He is someone who is notoriously known to respond to personal slander from NBA fans. He is incredibly sensitive. And you knew this was coming, right? You knew a response was coming from Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant tweeted McCollum and said, quote, "So, I would get into a gang fight, lose, plot on my brother for 2 months in our home, and then go get the gang we lost to and beat him up." Incredible analogy, right? KD goes on to write, "You think that low of me, CJ? I just did your bleeping podcast. Snakes in the grass, boy, I tell ya." Then he finishes that tweet off with the laughing emoji. So there you have that. And again, this all came about courtesy of CJ McCollum's podcast. Like, all these players now in professional sports are hopping on the podcast bandwagon, and they have their own individual podcast. Kevin Durant also has his own personal podcast, and he was a guest on CJ McCollum's podcast. And CJ, of course, asked KD about the decision to go to Golden State. And also, he was critical. CJ McCollum was critical of the move of DeMarcus Cousins going from the New Orleans Pelicans and linking up with an already stout Golden State Warriors roster. So the conversation extended beyond the podcast, and you had this Twitter exchange. I'll have more on that later on this hour. And the man just wants to be, just wants to see his son ball out. Get this. I don't know if you heard this story, but it is absolutely crazy. And I'm curious to get Seth Kinker's thoughts on this, because I think it's a peek into the window of just how recruiting is changing over the years. But LeBron James was in attendance for his son Bronny's sold-out AAU game over the weekend on Sunday, but the game was canceled before it even started after there was a heated exchange between a security guard and a parent. Now, according to Yahoo Sports, the elder James snuck into the gym of Liberty High School through a side door to watch his 13-year-old son, LeBron James Jr., play. Now, the stands filled up more than a half hour before tip-off, with fans anticipating the appearance of both LeBron James and, of course, Bronny. Now, the incident happened when members of the opposing team, the Chicago-based Mean Streets, could not get into the gym because it was too crowded. So, again, the game eventually ended up getting canceled because the exchange just got out of hand. There was also some drama when it comes to refunds for those who paid the $15 to attend the game. Just complete chaos at this game, right? So I'll have more on that story later on this hour as well. And Conor McGregor. I love Conor McGregor. He had faced multiple criminal charges stemming from an altercation in April with other fighters, where he threw an actual barricade at a bus injuring another fighter. This is exactly something you would expect Conor McGregor to do, right? But get this. This just shows you how celebrities just get off the hook sometimes, right? Not sometimes, a lot of the time. As part of his guilty plea deal, he is required to undergo anger management treatment. The plea will not affect his U.S. work visa. In a statement outside the New York City courthouse, the 30-year-old thanked the judge and prosecutors, quote, for allowing me to move forward. So McGregor gets no jail time. It's not going to be even on his public record. Basically, just, you know, he gets off with a slap of the wrist here. And we all saw the video. I mean, it looked like a WWE scene. And just a slap on the wrist for Conor McGregor. Just has to go through an anger management treatment regimen. Crazy, right? That's what money and superstardom can do, though, right? All right. And last but not least, a second sexual harassment lawsuit was filed against the NFL Network, where a former employee claims they were, quote, subjected to ongoing and continuing sexual harassment by current and former on-air talent and other employees, end quote. That's according to court papers obtained by USA Today. Now, in the lawsuit filed on Tuesday in Los Angeles Superior Court, Pro Football Hall of Fame receiver Michael Irvin was allegedly told multiple times not to touch a makeup artist. Erin McParlin says she worked for the Culver City, California-based league network for 2 years and was subjected to harassment by others, including former cornerback Eric Davis, who would, quote, rub his genitals against McParlin, the lawsuit claims. Now, in December, Jamie Cantor, a former NFL Network wardrobe stylist, accused former analyst Donovan McNabb, as well as Marshall Faulk, Ike Taylor, and Heath Evans, and former executive producer Eric Weinberger of various forms of inappropriate sexual behavior. Faulk, Evans, and Taylor were suspended by the network. McNabb and Eric Davis, former NFL Network analyst and current radio host for ESPN, have been suspended by ESPN. Davis and Irvin were named as defendants in the latest lawsuit. So troubling news there. All right, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can weigh in if you would like to be a part of the show. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, go to facebook.com/WKAR News. That's where we have the live stream up and running. And again, you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
Michigan State's recruiting has gone into the tank. Would you rather have Harbaugh in state or Mark D'Antoni? It ain't close.
You're comparing Michigan State and Michigan fans. You just, to even put Michigan State on the same platform of them is insulting. No. They're the little brother. So, no, of course they don't want to be Mark D'Antoni.
But if you put Harbaugh available outside of Ohio State, if you said Harbaugh's available in the open market, most of the Big Ten would say, we take Harbaugh. He's a really good coach. He's won everywhere.
That's accurate.
Right.
But he gets to coach in Michigan. You take every coach other than James Franklin and Urban Meyer, and they'd rather be coaching in Michigan. It's a lot easier.
He's the fourth best coach, right, in conference? Franklin, Meyer, and Chris.
No. I think Urban and Jim are the best coach in the conference.
Paul Chris, then.
I think Paul Chris has a great staff. I think that I think Wisconsin just does sports right. But if you told me on the open market, Harbaugh or Paul Chryst, I'd take Harbaugh.
I think you may be proven right down the road with Harbaugh. But based off of what we've seen the last 3 years, you can't put him ahead of James Franklin or Urban Meyer.
I like both of them. I'm not saying I don't like James Franklin. Open market, who gets more?
Okay, I can feel the anger. I can like sense it right now. It's coming through Studio S right now. I can feel the rage, Michigan State football fans. How uneducated and uninformed do Jason Whitlock and Colin Cowherd of Fox Sports sound? I just couldn't believe that when I heard this floating around. And I didn't get a chance to hear and watch, I should say, that segment. That's coming courtesy of Fox Sports and the show Speak for Yourself, hosted by Colin Cowherd and Jason Whitlock. And Colin Cowherd, I'm a fan of actually Colin Cowherd. You know, you either hate him or you love him. And, you know, I've always been a fan of Cowherd. I listen to him on a regular basis. And, you know, I think he does a great job at Fox. I thought he did an outstanding job at ESPN. Jason Whitlock, I don't care much for Jason. I think he just kind of spews off at the mouth without, you know, without really thinking or really backing up any of his points multiple times. But I tell you what, when it comes to that snippet right there, I got to side more so with Whitlock than I do Colin Cowherd, who, and I don't know how this keeps on happening. I'm big on this. And now, I must say, I'm not perfect. You guys know sometimes I struggle with names. But when it comes to big-time names in collegiate and professional sports, you know, mainstream sports that we care about here in America, you as a journalist, as a broadcaster, as someone who gets paid to do this, you should get your names right. Especially when it comes to a coach that has had the kind of success that Mark D'Antonio, not Mark D'Antoni, has had here at Michigan State University in the Big Ten Conference. This is a team, for goodness sake, that has played, one of the few teams that has played in the college football playoff. I just don't understand how these national analysts continue to just mess up Mark D'Antonio's name. Ian Hawley, do you remember the 1 year? And I still have a copy of this. The 1 year where Sports Illustrated. This is Sports Illustrated. This is like the creme de la creme of sports journalism. On the front page, when Michigan State made the college football playoff, you know, it was a picture of Connor Cook, a green and white cover, and Mark D'Antoni. They misspelled Mark D'Antonio's name on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Mark D'Antoni is what read on that cover on the front page with Connor Cook. Do you remember that year?
I do remember that.
I couldn't believe that.
Honestly, it doesn't surprise me that people keep getting it wrong. The way that they prop Jim Harbaugh up on a pedestal, they really don't care about whoever else they're comparing him to, it sounds like. So,
Is Mike D'Antoni that much more? I guess Mike D'Antoni is that much more famous then. You know, NBA coach.
I get. I mean, he's been around for a while. So.
Right, he has been. You know, and the NBA is. I don't know. You can go back and forth with this. The NBA is more popular than
college
Michigan
football.
State University, mm-hmm. I guess you can say, and college football. Yes, but I don't think college football is that far behind.
Not far behind.
Not
no.
at all. I mean, I think college football is certainly an emerging sport here in America. But you know, Michigan State University, and you just heard that dialogue between Whitlock and Colin Cowherd, you know, and it came about as Cowherd, you know, began to talk about the recruiting war in the state of Michigan. And he said, Mike D'Antoni gets dominated. I'm paraphrasing here. I'm basically saying Mike D'Antonio gets dominated on the recruiting front in relation to what Jim Harbaugh has been able to do out in Ann Arbor. And then he goes on to talk about, and I don't know who the two other journalists were that were a part of this segment, but they start to rank the coaches after Whitlock says, well, you know, you're comparing Michigan State to Michigan. You know, you're comparing Michigan fans to Michigan State. You know, Michigan State is the little brother in the state of Michigan. And they're completely ignoring the success and the dominance that Mark D'Antonio has had over Jim Harbaugh in the Michigan football program. So then you have Whitlock. That's unfair. You know, you're comparing two fan bases. Michigan is clearly the best. Basically, again, I'm paraphrasing here. Michigan, basically saying Michigan is clearly the more dominant squad. And again, it's just the Michigan college football legacy. You know, Michigan being the winningest college football program in the history of the sport. Michigan is still living off of that legacy. And it clouds, you know, what the national media thinks of when looking at Michigan State and Michigan. But those who are truly informed and who study and watch Big Ten college football know who has really run this state in the last, 5 to 7 years, okay? We all know, but these guys are just misinformed. They sound incredibly ignorant. Then they go on to rank coaches in the Big Ten Conference, and you heard them put like Paul Chryst and James Franklin over Mark D'Antonio. You know, they take like Jim Harbaugh and Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer, Jim Harbaugh, then you got Paul Chryst, well, probably James Franklin and Paul Chryst, and then Mark D'Antonio. How ignorant do you sound? It was just a laughable segment. When it comes down to it, you know, the point of this segment was for Jason Whitlock to put into context how Jim Harbaugh has been a failure so far at Michigan. So that was the initial point, which I agree with. Jim Harbaugh has made the program better, sure, because when he took over what Brady Hoke left, I mean, my goodness, that program was really down in the dumps. He's made this program better, but when it comes to the expectations out in Ann Arbor as it pertains to maize and blue football, it's about winning championships. It's about competing for trophies and rings. It's about at least getting to Indianapolis and competing in the Big Ten championship game, somewhere Jim Harbaugh has never been before throughout his tenure as the head coach and the head man in charge on the gridiron out in A squared. So I agree with the initial point that Whitlock was trying to push to the forefront, because Colin Cowherd, for some reason, is just clouded by Jim Harbaugh and what he was able to do and the programs he was able to turn around prior to becoming the head man in charge at U of M. I don't know why Colin Cowherd is so obsessed with Jim Harbaugh. Who knows? But I agree with the initial premise of Jason Whitlock saying, quote, Jim Harbaugh has been a failure so far at Michigan. And I think this is going to be a very telling year as to just how good of a coach Jim Harbaugh is. He has no excuses now. I think the excuses have run out, and it's a do or die year for Michigan fans when it comes to their perception of the job Jim Harbaugh is doing out in Ann Arbor. If Jim Harbaugh does not win a Big Ten championship this upcoming season, Michigan fans are going to start to talk about Jim Harbaugh being overrated, and I think that seat will become warm. I don't think it'll be lit on fire. I do think it will become warm. This is a telling year. Shea Patterson, all of the hype surrounded around Shea Patterson, you have to win this year, Jim Harbaugh. So we'll see. But it just blows my mind, the disrespect that Michigan State continues to get when it comes to the sport of football. When it comes to basketball, I mean, everybody loves Tom Izzo. Michigan State is always in the conversation in preseason rankings every single year of having one of the best basketball programs in this nation. That's what a national championship in 2000 will do for you. That's what a Hall of Fame, basketball Hall of Fame coach in Tom Izzo will do for your program. But, again, Michigan State has not won a national championship. And, again, that's what I think it's going to take. You know, we've had this debate left and right. You know, no matter how many times Mark D'Antonio may be in the conversation of competing in the Big Ten and winning a conference championship, and no matter how many times Michigan may dominate that school down the road, Michigan State won't be on the kind of level that Tom Izzo's basketball program is until they win a national championship. And that's so tough to do in this college football world now, because we're only talking about right now a 4-team playoff, which Michigan State was a part of not too long ago out in Dallas, Texas at AT&T Stadium. So, but it just blows my mind, Ian. It irks me to no end. Mike D'Antoni, and then they rank James Franklin and Coach Chryst and Harbaugh and Meyer. And I get Meyer. Meyer's proven it. But they rank those three over Mark D'Antonio. Don't even put him in the conversation. Then Whitlock has the audacity to bring up the whole little brother crap. It irks me. Can you sense my anger? I'm a little angry today after hearing that.
But it doesn't surprise me that they're applying the same mentality to the University of Michigan football and also to Jim Harbaugh. I mean, they look at Michigan and they say, oh, the winningest record in college football history. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had the share of the national championship like 25 years ago. So they must still be a blue blood program. And then they look at Jim Harbaugh. They do the same thing. Oh, well, look at what he did with the 49ers and look at what he did with Stanford. But what have you done for me lately? In both of those scenarios, if you ask that question, you'll see that it's not a whole lot from either one of them. So, honestly, I agree with you. Mark D'Antonio is never going to get over the little brother hump until he wins the national championship.
That's what it's going to take. You have to do something that's so out there.
Yeah.
That's so unprecedented, that is so historical, and the only thing you can do is to win a national championship.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
is what
three
going
Big
to
Ten
take
championships
to change
clearly
the
hasn't done it.
Right, exactly. That's what it's going to take to change the national media ignorance. That's what it's going to take, unfortunately. So, and you know what? This whole conversation came about and was started on this show, Speak for Yourself, on Fox, when they talked about a certain journalist out at Big Ten Media Days who really just came at Jim Harbaugh. The way he framed this question, it was really blunt. It was in your face, and when listening to the exchange, when watching the exchange, I really thought Jim Harbaugh was going to go off or give the guy like a one-word answer, but he really handled it well. Now, you're not going to hear Jim Harbaugh's response because it became boring, and you know, he said, "Look, man, I'm just basically going to approach this year. We have you know, high expectations for this upcoming season. I know the record. I'm ready to get to business. I'm ready to play some football." It was a really cliche answer. He handled it very, very classy, I must say. Jim Harbaugh did. But just listen to the way this question is framed, because I was surprised that Jim Harbaugh did not flip his wig.
Coach Crowley, Sullivan, Spartans Wire, a little bit of a follow-up on that question. You came into Ann Arbor with perhaps the most hype of any coach in the history of the Big Ten, maybe in all of college football. A few years later, you've got a third place, and fourth place finish, and you're 1-5. Against Michigan State and Ohio State. What do you have to do this year to demonstrate to the Michigan community that you are on the path to achieving what they hired you to achieve?
Wow. Wow. That took some gusto, you journalist, you from Spartan Wire. Wow. When I heard that question, I said, oh my goodness, Jim Harbaugh is about to leap across that podium right now. You know? Who's got it better than us? You don't. I thought he was about to go nuts.
It's a good thing he caught Jim Harbaugh on a good day.
Right, exactly. I mean, what is it going to take for you? Can we just one more time, Ian. One more time, I want to play that.
Coach Crowley, Sullivan, Spartans Wire. A little bit of a follow-up on that question. He came into Ann Arbor with perhaps the most hype of any coach in the history of the Big Ten, maybe in all of college football. A few years later, you've got a third place, and fourth place finish, and you're 1-5 against Michigan State and Ohio State. What do you have to do this year to demonstrate to the Michigan community that you are on the path to achieving what they hired you to achieve?
Wow. That's all I can say. Just wow. Like at least 30 more times after hearing that. I mean, what do you have to do to prove to the Michigan fan base that you are on the path to achieving what they hired you to achieve? That's pretty to the point, right, Ian? I mean, yeah. I mean, and he just laid it all out there on the table. I mean, third place, and fourth place finish in the Big Ten. 1-5 against your rivals, Michigan State and Ohio State. I did you have a problem with the way that journalist framed that question and kind of laid out everything and didn't just kind of let Jim Harbaugh respond? I thought it was maybe a little too harsh, but I get it. I mean, the dude's from Spartan Wire. I mean, what do you expect, right?
Well, nothing he said was incorrect in that statement.
Factual.
But
yeah.
It doesn't sound like an unbiased journalist who's asking that question. It sounds like a ticked off Spartan fan who's tired of the disrespect, you know, just like we are over here at WKAR.
Right. No, I hear you. I mean, I would never ask a question like that, because even though we work here at WKAR, we cover, our primary coverage is Michigan State University, seeing as though we are here at Michigan State University. You know, I try to stay as non-biased as I can. I try to just look at the facts and just present the facts and give you my honest opinion. All right. And I don't sugarcoat anything. But, you know, when I'm out there reporting, I'm trying to stay as non-biased as I can. Right. So but the dude, I mean, come on. I saw many people kind of flipping out about this, of course, Ann Arbor fans out there flipping out at the way this question was framed on social media. People were just going nuts, right? The Maize and Blue fan base going nuts and losing their mind. But, dude, again, this is not a non-biased journalist. He writes for Spartans Wire. Spartans Wire, okay? What do you expect? I mean, come on now. So we are way too hypersensitive in today's world sometimes. I had no problem with it. He stated the facts and let Harbaugh respond. Riddle me that. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk about Jim Harbaugh's proposal of expanding the college football playoff to 8 teams and then eventually a 16-team playoff. Thoughts, comments, concerns? Join the discussion. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you live here on the campus of Michigan State University inside of the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences, Studio S. Before I move forward, you know, I just saw, I'm staring at right now, a familiar smiling face who is a diehard fan of Current Sports, maybe the biggest Current Sports fan that we know here at WKAR. Ben Grimes, my man Ben, and his lovely wife Stephanie, they are actually the recipients of our online contest that we had, where, you know, you could enter to win two box seats for a Lansing Lugnuts game of your choice. And Ben and Stephanie, no surprise, they are the winners of that award. And they just stopped by to pick up the tickets. I see Ben behind the glass. He's waving right now. And Ben is a great multitasker, Ian, because as I'm staring at Ben, he's already weighed in on our Facebook page, as he customarily does each and every weekday at 1 o'clock. So, again, if you would like to be a part of the show, just like my man Ben, and we got some great giveaways coming on the show as we proceed in the coming weeks here on Current Sports. So you want to stay tuned and keep it locked here at WKAR. Just simply go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKARnews and just keep it locked, and we'll keep you updated. But, again, congratulations to Ben and Stephanie Grimes. Salute to you, Ben. All right, enjoy the Lugnuts game of your choice. All right, great stuff there. All right, we just wrapped up segment A discussing the whole Michigan State continuing disrespect from the national media, right? I mean, Jason Whitlock and Colin Cowherd had a segment on Speak for Yourself on Fox Sports. Basically, you know, diving into, you know, how Jim Harbaugh has been a failure at Michigan so far. That was Whitlock's point. That was Jason Whitlock's point. And Colin Cowherd loves Jim Harbaugh, even though he's accomplished nothing since he's been in Ann Arbor yet, other than, you know, I guess, you know, just the off-field fanfare. He's increased that, right, over the years with the whole international trips and the recruiting antics when it comes to trying to woo certain recruits to U of M. But during the segment, you know, Colin Cowherd calls Mark D'Antonio Mike D'Antoni. And then Cowherd goes on to talk about how, you know, if you know, you had a choice between, you know, if you're a team out there and you had a choice between coaches in the Big Ten, I mean, the pecking order would go Urban Meyer, then Jim Harbaugh, then James Franklin, then Paul Chryst, and then Mark D'Antonio just makes no sense to me. So we've been getting your reaction on that. I would love to hear from you all, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And, you know, speaking of Jim Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh had an interesting proposal earlier this week in Chicago when it comes to the college football playoff, expanding from four teams to eight teams, and then eventually Harbaugh wants to see it move to 16. This is what Harbaugh had to say. This is a direct quote. Quote, thoughts on the playoff system? I guess the first thing that comes to mind is more would be more. I don't understand. More would be more, Ian. I guess that's factually correct, right? More would be more, right? It's more would be more. More would be better in the playoffs. Four in right now. Let's go to eight and eventually get to 16. Not too long ago, Ian, we had a heated debate here on Current Sports discussing the playoff expansion along with Connor Mathis and Jack Kerwin, as well as Alec Rio. Jack was the only one that said that, hey, man, stick to four. I like the way it is right now. Don't tinker with it. What do you think of Harbaugh's proposal of going to eight and then eventually 16? Has he lost his mind?
Well, 16 teams, you'd probably have to take out a game from the regular season, at least one, maybe consider two.
Definitely two.
That would really hurt the bowl games. I mean, I think we're in an imperfect system right now where something's got to give eventually. But keeping it at four teams in the playoff right now kind of keeps that from happening. I think eight teams would be pushing the bowl games kind of to their brink, mm-hmm. with as far as viewership for the lesser known bowl games. But 16 teams, I mean, you're verging on professional level season length right there if you keep the amount of games the way they are. Mm-hmm. So then the talk about paying the players would only increase from there as well. It'd bring you a lot of problems to go to 16.
That's where I was going.
I think eight is the perfect amount, to be quite honest with you. It brings in enough from the Power 5 conferences, and it gives the non-Power 5 teams a shot, but you don't blow up the season and make it way too long. You got to talk about injury, and you know, players trying to go to the next level, and just a lot of problems going to 16, in my opinion.
You hit on the points I wanted to make as well. That's exactly what I'm talking
about. Well, I apologize for stealing your thunder.
No, you didn't. No, I mean, if you go to 16, we're talking about, you know, a crazy strenuous season on these college football athletes who don't get paid. That's asking a lot of them when it comes to the world of football. 16 is crazy. Then you would have to add, you know, that's adding two more games at least onto the college football schedule. And even if you decide, you know, to take away some games from the regular season, then you're tinkering around with, you know, possibly, you know, upsetting multiple fan bases because there is the possibility of those rival matchups not happening on a given year because you have to be so decisive with the college football schedule. 16 is insane. Eight, I like eight because then you're probably adding on maybe one more game, you know, but still, that you can make the debate that is a lot. Even adding one more, it is a lot because, again, these players are not getting any compensation for what they do on a Saturday-to-Saturday basis. And also, I think if you do add eight, you still, you know, kind of keep. And this is what I love about college football. What I love about college football that makes it so different than any other sport here in North America is that every single Saturday, you are going to at least, at the very, very least, have two games that have playoff implications as the college football year rolls along. And at four, I mean, you're at least getting that every single Saturday, starting from week one. You don't get that with the NFL. You know, you can still rebound in the middle of the season and possibly make a run on the back end of the year to make the playoffs. You don't get that with the NBA. The NBA, they play 82-game regular season. You don't get that. Same thing with hockey, right? With the MLB, they play like, you know, 1 million games throughout the regular season. Then of course, October starts and you got the playoffs. But with college football, every Saturday means something when you look at the way it's set up with the playoff right now. Jack Kerwin, again, Jack, you know, he's the PA that, again, Jack, you believe that right now you like the way it is. You like the exclusivity of having just four teams make the college football playoff. What do you think about Harbaugh's statement to move to eight and then 16? Has he lost his mind?
Well, did you hear someone followed up kind of to Ian's point asking him about, you know, that would be a lot of games for college football players. And did you hear his solution?
I did not. No.
So it was to get rid of conference championship games. Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Pretty convenient. He can't get to Indy, and now he wants to get rid of conference championship games. I hate that.
Good jab.
I hate that.
I hate that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, getting rid of – and that's the thing as well. I mean, when you do expand it to eight at least, I think you get the opportunity to reward those who win their respective conferences. You get to reward those conference champions. Moving to 16, it kind of dulls it down a little bit, right? I mean, even if you don't win your conference championship, there are still many, many slots left. I mean, 16 slots, 16 opportunities for your team to still make the college football playoff. That's just entirely too much. Now, you know, I heard this argument as well. Looking at the numbers, even if the college football playoff grew to 16 teams, it would mean only 12% of the 129 team in FBS would make the tournament. That's a tiny number compared to 38% or 12 of 32 teams to make the NFL playoffs. I get all that, but again, we are talking about professionals in comparison to college athletes that don't make a dime for playing one of the most ruthless sports here in this nation. So what are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our final break right now, Ian. We hope to have on the show Seth Kinker, high school sports reporter at the Sun-Times News in Chelsea, Michigan, to talk about how the recruiting world is really changing. And I want to get his thoughts on this whole LeBron James Jr. story as well, as LeBron James showed up to watch his son play, and it caused such a ruckus that they had to actually cancel the game. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I want to go to our phone lines before we close out the show with Seth Kinker, high school sports reporter at the Sun-Times News in Chelsea, Michigan. Line two, Mike from Saginaw. Mike, what's on your mind, my man? Thanks for calling in.
Thank you for taking my call, Al.
Yep.
Do you think, since you're talking about the college football playoffs, now, University of Central Florida was undefeated at the end of their football season, and they won their bowl game. Or Western Michigan, even though they didn't win their bowl game, they had only one loss. Do you think that schools that out of the Power Five is going to be the best, ever be the best college football team?
That's a good question. I think they should at least get the opportunity. That is something you've been arguing, Ian. I mean, you are a big proponent that, you know, UCF, a team that went undefeated, they actually held a parade like they had won the national championship, mm-hmm. right? Because they believe that they deserve to be at least in the dance. That's what Mike expanding the playoff would do. It would allow a team like UCF to at least compete. Now, realistically, Ian, did you think UCF had a legit shot at knocking off, say, Alabama?
They're not going to beat Alabama. I mean, nobody's going to beat Alabama. They're an NFL team for all intents and purposes. But at least give them the shot, you know? At least they can say that they were there as a non-Power 5 school. That, in and of itself, is worth bragging about.
You at least wanted to see, you know, the possibility of UCF
yeah,
becoming a Cinderella.
Yeah, throw them a bone. Give them a shot, you know?
I hear you. What do you think of that?
So much work to get
right
there.
Right, well, yeah, exactly. What do you think of that, Mike?
I think that if they ever talk about expanding the college football players, that everything is so politically active now, I think the players will really want to get paid for playing extra games, even in college.
Definitely.
And I don't. So that's what my opinion on it. I think the college football season is good the way it is. Like now, yeah, I know they're complaining about people not going to the bowl games like it used to, but if they really want to clean up college football, they just get rid of the bowls, and I don't think the bowls really would want that to happen.
No, because, again, as we all know, what makes this world turns, that is the powerful, almighty dollar, and that's what these bowl games are all about. even if they're meaningless and they have no implications when it comes to possibly a team competing for a national championship, still holding a bowl and getting to a bowl game means more money for your program. It means more money for college football. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the players don't see a dime of it. All right. Thanks so much, Mike. We got to keep it pushing.
Thank you so much.
Very good points there made from Mike. And to close out the show, as we have about 7 minutes left here in the hour, I want to bring on Seth Kinker via phone right now. And also, breaking news. Ian, do you want to push this breaking news to our listeners real quick?
Yes. Malik McDowell has just been waived by the Seattle Seahawks. So sad news there for a former Spartan.
Okay. So Malik McDowell is currently unemployed, looking for a team this upcoming NFL year. All right. Seth Kinker, high school sports reporter at the Sun-Times News in Chelsea, Michigan. Seth, let's get right to it because we're up against the hour here. I want to get your thoughts on how the world of recruiting has changed, seeing as though, again, you cover high school sports and have been for quite some time now. What are we seeing here in 2018? Do you like the changes that we're seeing, and what changes can you evaluate and bring to the forefront here?
Well, I mean, a lot of the big changes I see, I mean, you see it as time's gone on, it's just more going along with technology, how recruiters it's become more digital. And restrictions are changed by the NCAA, then lessening dead peers, things like that, when they can be texting them, when they're allowed to be. So it's turned into just basically a constant barrage. It used to be they would be able to send letters over and over, and now it's at certain times they can text them, they can do that. So it's a lot of, it went from like face-to-face, now it's phone calls, constant text messaging. So it's just a lot of little technological, I mean, the evolution as our technology gets better, so does the ability for recruiters to be able to do that. Now you see online social media, you got Twitter and everything. One recent example, I recently dismissed a recruiter for Ohio State, Zach Smith, the wide receivers coach, also very good, known as a good recruiter, couldn't necessarily develop the players, but he was known as one of the top recruiters. You see him, if you went on his profile, was constantly interacting with players, not only current receivers, but kind of guys were looking to bring in. And kind of that young generation of people more using social media, like the teams are beginning to take note of that and really trying to use that to their advantage as well.
Definitely. And I know when it comes to, you know, highlight tapes, it allows coaches to really evaluate a young man or woman, for that matter, online, you know, when you to look at, you know, their highlight reels and see what they do well, see what they need to improve on. I'm pretty sure that's really changed the game on that forefront as well, where you don't really need a coach or scout present at every single game to really evaluate a young athlete, right?
Yeah, and at the same time, on the flip side of that, I think it can also hurt as well. Athletes begin to become not necessarily entitled, but they get all these offers rolling in, and you just get offer rolling after rolling, and they post that, and sometimes you see the lack of not necessarily not putting in the work. Of course, they put in the work to get there to that point, but them also becoming complacent and getting all this attention, all these accolades, when they haven't really, they're getting the offers, but they haven't really attended the college, they haven't been on the field yet, they haven't performed yet at all. They're just getting this attention from these coaches because obviously the team wants them to come there. Kind of another recent example here in the Big Ten, Spencer Brown, Devontae Dobbs, the five-star recruit from Belleville, I mean.
Right.
A lot of that when he was talking to ESPN Radio about the U of M recruitment and how it kind of turned him off. They were almost robotic, and he talked to Michigan State recruitment about how they were more real with him. And so I think as much as that social media not technology evolution has come about, it's still, a lot of the players still realize the authentic value of it. So it's kind of just balancing that fine line between using that technology to kind of get those recruits' attention and then as well as following up on what you can actually say rather than just throwing all these things at them.
That's so true. You know, this has been a debated topic for years upon years now, Seth, and I want to get your take on it. How young is too young? Because, you know, we've been chatting about this hour about LeBron James Jr. and, you know, how a high school game was canceled over the weekend because his father showed up. There was a lot of hoopla and, you know, there was an argument with the opposing an opposing team's parent not being allowed in, and they canceled the game. But when you look at LeBron James Jr., Seth, I mean, it's really hard to grade a player who is entering eighth grade. Now, with that being said, I mean, Bronny led his team to the USBA National Championship in Charlotte last week. He also took an unofficial visit to Duke. Right now, he's considered among the top 30 kids in his class right now. But again, he hasn't even hit the hardwood as an eighth grade player just yet. How young is too young, Seth?
That's so hard for me to. It's you want to let kids be kids, right? There's always that argument, but at the same time, one local story I've been covering recently, it's happening in Dexter. A mom reached out to me, and she sent out to our sports team, our sports department, kind of saying she doesn't want to brag about her kids, but here's what's going on. And they're competing in the World Championships in Pinehurst, North Carolina next week. The Junior PGA, they compete locally here in Ann Arbor, and they've won enough hardware, and they qualified, and now they're going to the National Championships in North Carolina, first week in August. And so following up on that story, I was kind of asking her how they got involved, things like that, because I was wondering, was it kind of parent-initiated, or was that kind of something they picked up? Because they both started when they were under 10, and now they're like both about like 8 and then 10. Mm-hmm. So they've picked it up. They've been doing it for about a year now. And I kind of said, how did they get involved? And they said, me and my husband are casual golfers, and they kind of just wanted to come with us. And then they took off from there. And so from there, the mom got them a coach, and they've been competing competitively ever since then. And so I don't know if there's necessarily too young of an age. If the kid wants to get involved, there shouldn't really be a restriction on that. If they want to be competing early, and then yes, that does open up doors down the road for them, yes. But if they want to compete at an early age, then let them compete. That's my opinion.
All right. Outstanding job, my man Seth Kinker. Seth will be joining us every single week here throughout the summer and leading into the fall and giving us some great high school perspective, an outlook from the high school sporting perspective and tackling some hot-button topics. And we definitely got to follow up on this recruiting one because there are certainly some other areas I want to tackle with Seth. But Seth, outstanding job. Thank you so much for your time on this Thursday afternoon, my man.
Hey, thanks, man. I'll see you soon.
All right, Seth Kinker, high school sports reporter at the Sun-Times News in Chelsea, Michigan. All right, you hear the music. That means we're out of time. And tomorrow will be Ian Hawley's final day here at Current Sports. You definitely want to tune in for that, folks. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.